Put on the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness, says the Lord. Don't walk in heaviness, walk in freedom. As you praise me, I lift the burden. As you praise me, the things that try to beset you and come on you will fall away. As you praise me, your spirit is lifted up. As you praise me, I set you free. I can work through those who praise me, says the Lord. Praise me with all of your heart. Praise me with everything that's within you. Lift up your voice in triumph and victory, says the Lord. Praise me, says the Lord, and worship me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bondage, heartache, bewilderment, disillusionment cannot stand when you praise the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's freedom in praise. Amen? Hallelujah. When you start to praise the Lord, His Spirit steps on the scene, and those chains, as the song says, that seem to bind you, they fall powerless behind you, and they serve only to remind you that that's what happens when you praise the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't make any difference what the circumstance is, what the situation is in your life or my life. Praise God. When you praise Him, it all just kind of melts away. Not only that, you release the Holy Spirit and you release the angels to begin to move in your behalf when you praise Him. And when you praise Him, God steps on the scene. Amen? Hallelujah. And there's nothing can stand when you praise the Lord. Nothing. You cannot be or have a heart of heaviness when you praise the Lord. You can't. You can't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, y'all are probably waiting to hear a message. And you're going to hear one, but not from me. Praise the Lord.
I want to hear from God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right. But this morning, God's going to use Harry to give us His word. I want you to know that I appreciate this man. I appreciate all of you, but I called Harry on Friday. Y'all know some of the struggles I've been going through and the burden that's on my son. I told Harry, I said, preachers aren't superhuman. Did you know that? In case you didn't know that, here's the newsflash. Preachers are not superhuman. We have emotions and things that we have to deal with also. But I think you can tell where the victory lies. Amen? Harry prayed. I'm telling you, that was a blessing. It lifted me up. Hallelujah. And I appreciate it. So I just asked him, just for pressure's sake, if he would take this morning's service. So I'm anxious to hear what God's given him this morning. How about you? Amen? Hallelujah. So you pray for him, will you? Hey, he knows what it is to stand up here. Some of y'all don't. But anyway, I'm anxious to hear what God's given Harry this morning. How about you? Praise the Lord.
Well, bless your hearts. I've come to know that standing up here and speaking to you folks and lifting the name of the Lord to you, It's an honor. Believe me, it's an honor. And I accept the challenge that He's given me. And I pray that the words that I come through with you to you is going to be what He wants to give.
Amen.
They say that when you come up here, or whenever you speak in front of people, you get a few different feelings. One is nervousness. Another one is dry mouth. And I've got that. But it's not so much as a chore, but it's a privilege.
Amen.
And with you folks, I tell you, you're a privilege to be with. I love being with you. I love being in this place. It's a small building, but boy, it's got the Lord in here.
Yes.
Amen. Every time you step forward, every time you put your feet into this house, you're bringing the Lord with you because He is in you. So the Spirit is always with you.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. There's a few things I'd like to speak to you about today. And one of them is that on faith, a little bit of about the will of God and the will of what your will is it according to God? We talk a lot, we speak a lot, we say words, and the words that we say are sometimes against what God wants to hear. The tongue comes out of your mouth. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty. A lot of times I speak negative. I was brought up that way, as we all are. Well, you can't do that. You're not old enough. You've heard that. Well, then I'll sometimes say that I can't do certain things. And it's not because of what God says. It's what I say. And then when he turns it around, he can do things with you that you just, right, beyond anything that you can imagine, think, yeah, or ask. So I was reading on faith. I was studying the word, and as Marie will testify, I struggled with it. I struggled. And it's not because I can't find the words to describe what God has done for me, but it's the joy of knowing Jesus in faith. Yes. And it takes faith.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people say that it's a lot easier to it's a lot easier to believe in evolution than it is to believe in God. But more, I'll tell you, the more they come out with this evolution stuff 15 billion years ago, those guys haven't got a clue of what they're talking about.
Right.
Absolutely no clue. When you read the Word of God and you study His Word, the more you get to know Him, the greater your faith grows.
Yes.
That's what it says. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yeah. A lot of things that I have done in my life, if you told me that I was going to do these things, there's no way in the world I would agree with you. In fact, God surprises me many times. It's amazing how he's done it to you. I know he's done it to you, folks. Each one of you has received something from him and just say, where did that come from?
Hallelujah.
Comes right out of left field, as they say.
Praise God.
Did you exercise your faith last week? It's a question I want to ask you. Have you practiced your faith last week? And it came through to you. It came through.
Amen.
Did you ever say that you wish you had more faith? You know, that God has given you a measure of faith that is surprising when you actually exercise it.
That's right.
Now, exercising your faith is a very iffy sort of thing that you talk about. They say, well, exercise your faith. You know, use your faith. How do you exercise faith? How can you exercise something that's intangible? It's not, you can't see it, you can't feel it, but you know it's there. Well, you've got air to breathe, haven't you? You don't know, you can't see it. Although sometimes when a dust storm comes along, you can see the air coming at you, you know. But if you ask God for faith, he can't give you any. Think about it. He can't give you any faith. He's already given you a measure of faith. So now, tell me, why should you ask God again? In other words, if you're asking him for faith, you're not believing his word. That puts you in a pickle. That puts you in a place where you don't want to be. So you say, okay, Lord, increase my faith by as I read your word. And as you read his word, things come through that are just absolutely mind-boggling. You know, we've got that chapter in Hebrews. The full chapter, 11th chapter of Hebrews, is all about faith and the faith of people. The faith of many great men. Were they? Were they really that great? All they were was people that God wanted to use. They were willing.
That's right.
So as they were willing, he gave them a way to do things. And I was reading about this 11th chapter, and I highlighted everything that says by faith. And it's amazing how many by faith there are in this whole chapter. Now, these people were not anybody that was just terrific. I mean, they were powerful people before they even started. Moses? How strong was Moses? I mean, he even tried to get out of it. He argued with God. No, I got stammering lips. And that's the way they talk. That's what each one of us does at times. Faith is something that will give you strength if you exercise it. And you exercise it by doing small things. You don't start off by parting the waters like Moses did. Or did Moses part the waters? No, God did.
Amen.
Moses, he just told Moses, stretch forth your hand. Okay, so he stretched forth his hand, put his rod up, and whew, the waters parted. That's amazing. And what did he do with Abraham? He says, go forth. Go to this land I'm going to give you. Well, he wandered around and trying to find the land that he was supposed to go to, but slowly but surely he ended up in the land of Canaan. Praise God. These men were nothing great, ordinary people, and he's just like you and I.
That's right. Yeah.
He is not a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
Believe it. It's possible to do all kinds of things. Like you said, with all things with God are possible.
That's right.
But there's a certain section in this 11th chapter that really talked to me today. And what more shall I say? Starting off at verse 32. I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. His weakness was turned to strength. Now, you've heard some of the stories I told you about my experiences in the past. Some of the most amazing things that I've ever seen happen. I mean, they blew me away. I mean, I just couldn't believe that things like that could actually happen. Little miracles. Since there's a turning of the pages of a book, and the pages were turning and turning, and there was no wind, no breeze, nothing. But I could see the pages were a quarter of an inch apart, turning, and then they showed me exactly what I needed to know for that moment.
Amen.
That's a long story, and I don't want to go through that all of it. How he took me to an instrument that was, it was a machine that was having some problems. And he told me to do some things that I thought, that doesn't mean anything, that doesn't possibly, you know. But I just walked back to the machine after I asked him to help me, because I had no clue as to what was wrong with the machine. And he directed me directly to the place where I had to be, had to do a certain thing, opening up a computer, opening up the cables in the computer, and he showed me where the problems were right there. And I had no idea to look in that area. These are small miracles that he's given me. By faith, I asked God to help me to quit smoking. By faith. Because I couldn't do it. There was no way in the world that I could quit smoking. I was addicted. I was addicted to more than you can think. And even though the odds were against me, I ended up... Come on in, guys. Come on in. God bless you for coming. Robbie, Caroline, Caitlin, come on in. God bless you. You're true to your word, Bobby. God bless you. When I was addicted to smoking, it was more than just a pressure on me. There was a time when I was just, it was just really a, what would you call it? It was a grab by the devil. I mean, he had his clamps on me. But then I asked God to take it away from me. And he did it in a very miraculous way. And that's another long story, but I'm not going to go into that. But he removed it from me. Just as he did with Bob Mosher, the things that he's done. I mean, the man, he'll show you a picture of how big he was at one time. And now he's just a little wee guy. He's only half a man now. No, Bob, it's, I mean, that is a story in itself. That is something to me that is really exciting. But you did it with faith. You knew you could do it because God gave you the strength to do it. It's amazing. And Fran, the stories about Fran are just incredible. I can go through this whole area. The people that I know and that I've talked to in deep and heavy things. Robbie, thank God you came. I think Robbie could stand up here and tell you some stories that he and I went through together. Some of the things that we accomplished through God, through faith, through faith. I can remember one time when Robbie was in the business of selling used cars, and he had a heavy debt. And there was a time when it was just getting to the point where where Robbie was crying. He was hurting. He was scared. I was scared for him. Have you ever been around somebody that's really afraid or scared about something that's going to happen? And you feel it yourself, that the heaviness is right there. Well, Robbie and I got together one day, and it was a long time ago, wasn't it, Robbie? But boy, I'll tell you, I'll never forget it. We sat in his office, and I told him, I said, all we can do is pray. He needed a certain amount of money. I think that was what it was, in money. Of course, it's always money. And we got it together, and we just sat there and we prayed. It wasn't what? Half a day later, everything worked out. We're perfect.
Amen.
God, Robbie, it's exciting times. We had fun. Even though we were in trouble, we had fun. We enjoyed it because, boy, after that, did we ever cheer.
Yes, amen.
I mean, we really got together. We talk about it quite often. And I can tell you another time when I had to get a truck. I needed a truck so bad, I didn't know what to do. And I thought, well, the transmission is going on the other one, so I've got to replace it with something. And Robbie and I went down, and he called me one time. Yeah, he called me up, and he says, hey, get down here at the auction. He says, there's a terrific little vehicle here. You got to see it. So I thought, yeah, right. So I went down there, and I thought, well, this is more than I can afford. And miracle upon miracles, nobody bid against this truck. Not a soul. And there was one guy, what did you call him? Clipboard, yeah. This guy walked around the clipboard, and he was always ready to overbid and outbid everybody and giving everybody a trouble. But this one truck, I saw it and I looked at it, and I thought, wow, maybe I can, maybe I can't. I don't know what we're going to do. So Robbie says, well, can you afford this much? And I says, yeah, I guess I can just about make that. And then he walked about five places, and he turned around and he says, can you go this much? How much do you want me? Can I go this much? And I says, yeah, sure. So we went in there. And the guy started auctioning off this truck. And I'm sitting there, and I think, well, what's going to happen now, you know? And all of a sudden, everybody that was bidding in this area, they all walked away. Robbie comes out and he says, so much, And the guy just looked around and he says, sold. So I got a truck, and it's sitting out there, and it's still running like a dream. It's to me, how come that guy didn't bid against you? You and I talked about this many times. It isn't possible because everybody bids against something. Everybody bids. But nobody, not a soul. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Was that faith? I said, Robbie, this is how much we want to give. No more. I can't go any higher than that. I didn't have to go that high. Now, was I speaking in faith? You figured out. How strong was my faith at that time? I was scared. I needed something. I needed to do something. But there it was. The two of us have had experiences, interesting experiences. Now, how do you measure faith? Can you measure faith? Yeah, you can. Because in the Word, it says, in 2 Thessalonians 1st chapter, 3rd verse, there's a growing faith.
Ah,
so it can grow. That's interesting. You can actually grow faith. Plant a seed, water it, it'll grow. Aha. Interesting. But how about Romans 4:19 says, weak faith. Weak faith. In other words, it's like your body. If you don't exercise it, if you don't use it, it's going to get weaker and weaker. Faith can be a weak faith. Or little faith. Remember when Peter was sinking in the water? And he cried out to God? And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So it's measurable. It's very measurable. Strong faith. Romans 4:20. Strong faith. Now that's a faith that you can say, well, I have the strength within me, and I know that God lives, and he lives in me. It's his strength, not my strength. Therefore I am strong, and I can conquer all things. That's a strong faith. And then you move forward and do it. Do whatever is necessary to do. How about being rich in faith? James 2:5, he says to be rich in faith. How do you get rich in faith? You bank it. Every time you use your faith, you put it in here and remember it. That's banking your faith. And then it grows richer and richer. Just like it's got interest on it. Interesting, isn't it? Faith can be really measured. It can be counted, because God said that whatever Abraham did, he counted as toward his faith. Perfect faith. James 2:22. Perfect faith. You look these things up and read about them. Unfeigned faith. That's no sham. There's no excuse. No, it's unfeigned faith. There's no phoniness to it. It's there, and it's usable for yourself. Shipwrecked faith? That sounds like something that Paul went through, huh? The Apostle Paul. Shipwrecked faith, yeah. Oh, boy. There's some things that he did there that were really amazing. Remember, he was on the island, and a snake bit him. It came out of the fire, and a snake bit him. He just shook it off and threw it into the fire. And everybody said, that man's going to die. Paul just kept right on preaching. Didn't even bother him. Just kept right on living. And he says, he just threw the snake in the fire and just forgot about it. During his shipwrecks that he was in, these guys were going through a lot of things, and he says, no, none of you are going to die. None of you will perish. Just throw all the snakes out, and we'll get to shore. And they did. He had a faith. Now, everybody says, Paul's faith. That was way beyond anything else. The Lord showed him a lot of things that he hasn't shown us yet. Paul was taken up into the third heaven. And he saw things. Now, he worked on that. He worked on that faith that he had.
What does that mean, third heaven?
I can't hear him.
He asked, what does third heaven mean?
Oh. That's something in the Bible. Paul mentioned that he said that he was taken up. He knew a man that was taken up to the third heaven. Of course, it's showing many different things, and what he meant by that, nobody has understood. Are there levels in heaven? Apparently, that's something that we are going to find out in faith.
Amen.
In faith. And then there's one that I love: overcoming faith. 1 John 5:4. Overcoming faith. That's the kind of faith that we all desperately need at times when we're in trouble, when we're scared, when we're not sure that we're going to make the bills, pay the bills, not sure that whether we're going to make the keep a job. Are we going to have? Do we have the faith to keep working and staying at the job that we're at, knowing that we could lose our jobs at any moment? But you overcome that faith, that fear. You overcome fear. You overcome doubt. You overcome depression. You overcome certain elements in life that really bother you. I wish that a certain man was here today. I wish that Daryl was here today. He and I had a good talk the other day, and we visited on Friday afternoon. Daryl needs prayer, folks. He needs a lot of prayer. Hold him up in prayer so that he has the strength and the courage to speak, to come against the forces of evil that are against him. Tremendous, tremendous things that he's going through. I don't know if I could even go through mine myself. That would be pretty difficult. Those are difficult times for him. So the measure of your faith can increase by doing two things. And you know that the first one is reading the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And exercising your faith is the number two, putting it into practice. This is something that's really difficult to really put down and say, here's how you exercise your faith. First of all, you got to know what the problem is. You've got to recognize the problem or think that this thing that's coming against you in your life. And then you got to say, okay, the greater one is in me. Therefore, the lesser one is out there. It's outside influences, outside pressure. But the greater one is in me. Now, what is out there? What's out in the world? What does the devil have? He has sin. He has doubts. He gives you fears. There are so many things that entity can give you. Now, what is out in the world? Sin, sickness, and trouble.
That's right.
Three things. Sin, sickness, and trouble. Nothing in God's heaven can give you sin, can give you sickness, or give you trouble.
Right. That's right.
Now, if he's the author of overcoming these three things, and he is living in you, what do you have to fear?
Come on.
Sin is of the devil. Sickness is of the devil.
That's right.
And trouble is of the devil.
Yes.
And he does this just to get you down, to get you so that you cannot cope with what's going on. Now, in the last couple of weeks, I had a cold. I received a cold from somewhere, and I didn't invite it in, believe me. But I had it, and I was going against that. And it didn't get as bad as some people have had it. Now, without faith, it could have been worse. It could have been. It could have this. It could be that. Could have, should have, would have. You know. These are not things that you dwell on. You don't dwell on the sickness. Yeah, I had a cold. So what do? I took care of it. I did more resting. I drank an awful lot. Marie was pumping me full of water, I'm telling you this. I got to the point where... She says, well, you have to drink this. And she put a jug in front of me. You got to drink this today. And I looked at it and I thought, boy. Marie is very true to her faith. True to her beliefs. She is strong in those things that really helped me so many, 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 many times. More numerous than I can even say. Look for opportunities to increase your faith. Look for opportunities. They're out there. You know somebody that doesn't have the Lord? Who hasn't got the stamina or the strength to overcome? Stand with them. Show them. Exercise your faith. Show them that what the Lord has done for you. Tell them about it. You're a witness to the Lord. You're his ambassador. Show people that you can do certain things that, or tell them about certain things that you can do that you had no idea how to do before, but the Lord brought you through, and now you can witness to others. I'm just reminded of something, Robbie. When I came to see you on 44th, when you found out that you were on the wrong side? Huh? What has the Lord has done for you since then? So many things. It's been uphill since then. You've been striving pretty good. There's some weakness places, you know, but
excuse me.
I'm not going to point out Robbie's weaknesses.
Because then he'd list. It's a very short list, isn't it?
It's a very short list, yeah. One or two items. But I've enjoyed Robbie's company, Carol, Kaylin's, the girls, Shannon. And I think of these kids and I think, God, look how they've grown. Look how they've changed. Beautiful kids. You've got something to be proud of. Did you have any trouble bringing them up? Oh, I can imagine, because I had two kids, and I know what that was like. By faith, Marie gave over our daughter to the Lord. She just had to turn it right over to the Lord, and then not even think of taking it back.
Amen.
But what does she do now? I mean, it's just amazing. She amazes me at many times. And we had to give her over because there was no control. Boy, oh boy. Now she's running a company. She's been in business with her desktop publishing. Now she's running a small aircraft flying club. That's what it is, a flying club. And now she's studying psychology. Now, don't ask me what's driving that girl. But we gave her over to the Lord. And she's a success. She's succeeding. She has a beautiful husband. A real great guy. Somebody that I'm really proud of to be in my family. I'm very proud of him. Now, the biggest concern that we should be as Christians, the biggest concern that we have is each other. Think about it. You know, you think about some of the problems that people have in their lives. Are you helping them? Are you showing them a way? Are you giving them hope? Ah, hope. 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 What is our hope? At the end of our days, we will see the greater one. We will be in his kingdom. There's no doubt in my mind. A lot of people come out and speak about things about the Lord, and they say, oh, that's just, you can believe what you like. No, not what you like. But you have to believe. You have to believe that he is there. He knows your path. He knows the path that he's chosen for you. And he wants to show you exactly the hope that you have and the future that you have. And each of us has a future. And the future is not, maybe not here on this earth, but in the kingdom. That's the hope that I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking forward to. Each one of these people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, each one of them had a hope. They had a hope. They had never heard about Jesus, but they believed in God. And God revealed himself to many of these people. And he showed them what to do, how to do it, what to do. And they had a hope. They knew, like David said, my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
My Redeemer liveth. Also my Redeemer. He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to worry about whether you're a king or a bum. I mean, you right down at the bottom. You can go to from the top of society to the bottom of society. He cares about you.
Yes, that's right.
He cares about you. He has a hope for you. He has so much more for you than we have, that we can think of. We've talked about many things like, how's that word going on? We had it written on in the old church. We had a big sign across them. Far beyond anything you can think or ask. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Far beyond anything that you could think or ask.
Amen. Amen.
That's the hope that he's given you. You don't reject that. You don't push it aside and say, I don't think I could go that route. You do what the Lord says to do, and he'll give you that hope. He'll give you that strength. And you'll love every minute of it, believe me. F. I don't know if any of you read Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth. He was an authority on healing, and he wrote the book Christ the Healer. It's quite a book. And he said that most Christians feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day. And they give them a cold snack of the Lord on the weekend. You think about that. And then they wonder why they're weak. They wonder why they're not strong in the Lord. Why they don't have any faith. You can't just snack on the Lord.
That's right.
Forget it. You'll get so sick. You'll get so weak. You become a non-person if you keep it up. You have to have the Lord every day and soak it in, bathe in it, eat it. It's good to eat, and it's good for your body. Your spirit will grow, and your faith will grow. He has everything, a banquet for you. It's right here in the book. It's in his word. It's a banquet for your soul and your spirit.
Yes.
And you'll live. You'll live. Not just live life, but you're going to live. So much to live for.
Yes.
So much to see ahead of you. Now, at my age, I'm 79. I'll be 79 this year. May. Don't forget my birthday, May the 22nd, okay? 79. I never thought that I would even come near that age. But I know the Lord has got a lot more for me to do.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to be there to do it.
Yes.
I think I've taken enough time. But you know, I just want to close with this. Be sure what you pray for. Think of what you pray for. Give it a chance. Give your prayers a chance to work. A hurried up prayer at times will help. But there's times when a hurried up prayer is really of no account, as this one little boy said. What happened is his folks were working in the fields. And they were hoeing and taking out the weeds and things like that. And all of a sudden the storm came up. And the parents said, run, 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 we got to run. So they had to run across these acres of fields. And then finally the father said, we can't make it. So he fell on his knees and started praying. The little boy came up and he says, get up, Dad, and run. He says, a hurried prayer is of no account. In other words, you should have been praying about the safety for your whole day. Right from the beginning to the time you go to bed, you'll be covered under the Lord's wing. What a beautiful thought. I'm under his wing. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's directing my paths.
Yes.
And he says that there's a future. There's a hope and a future. And you can dance to that. The one thing I want is that you to remember that you've got love, power, and a sound mind.
Yes.
Authority. That power is authority over anything that comes against you. Faith. That all comes under faith. Strength. And a hope. And a future. Praise God. Give him the glory. Give him the honor.
Yeah.
Give him praise.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
God bless you all. Father, I ask that you would speak to each one person here. Show them where they're weak and let them be strengthened with your word. Take each person, Father, by the hand throw your mercy and grace on them. When we make mistakes, Father, thank you for the forgiveness.
Yes.
Thank you for the blessing of being in Jesus and Jesus in me.
Yes, thank you.
In each one of us. And this next week, Father, I pray that you would touch each one here, strengthen in their faith. As they read the Word, just let them see exactly what you want them to know. Prove yourself strong and mighty, as you have in the past. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. We give you praise and glory. Sanctify the rest of this day, Father, for a peaceful day, a day full of hope. Go with each person, our Father, and each person here, walk with God. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. To end this on a little more cheerful note, I don't know if there could be any more cheerful than that. I got a little story here that I'd like to let you hear. A husband and a wife were going for counseling after 25 years of marriage, and when asked what the problem was, the wife went into a passionate, painful tirade, listing every problem and everything that happened in the last 25 years. She recited the entire laundry list of unmet needs she had endured: neglect, lack of intimacy, emptiness, loneliness, and feeling unloved and unlovable. Finally, after going through this at a sufficient time, the therapist got up, walked around the desk, and asked the wife to stand. He embraced her, he kissed her passionately, and the woman shut up and quietly sat down as though in a daze. The therapist turned to the husband and said, "This is what your wife needs at least 3 times a week. Can you do it?" The husband thought for a moment and replied, "Well, I can drop her off here on Monday and Wednesday, but Fridays I go fishing."
Oh, Harry.
Oh, well.
I try.
God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Don't forget there's fellowship. After this, you're all invited, and go with God.
Amen.